All right, I want to dive into this here. We're in 1 John chapter 2. We've been in 1 John chapter 2 for a few weeks now. And 1 John chapter 2 begins much the same way as 1 John chapter 1. If you allow me to review a little bit of chapter 1, a couple of verses that I want to highlight. Chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth." Verse 8, it says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And the thing is, verse 10 says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." There's a whole lot of claiming going on. Did you notice that? If we claim this, if we claim that, if we claim this, and this is what I want you to see in 1 John chapter 2. It begins, 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, "The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And what, he's claiming something. He's claiming he knows the Lord, and yet he doesn't keep the commandments. Verse 6, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." In verse 9, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness." You see, a lot of claiming going on, a lot of talking, a lot of people talk the talk. The question here is, are you walking the walk? Are we truly walking the walk? So let me do this here with you. You know what a caricature is? A caricature, kind of a cartoon that overemphasizes some things, minimizes other things. It's a distorted image, maybe. I got a couple of caricatures. One, you know who that is? Albert Einstein. Okay, enough where you recognize him, but that's not him, right? Another one, what's the next one I got? You know who that is? Clint Eastwood, right? Got another one. John Wayne. I was trying to think of some caricatures of young people so the young people could relate, and I didn't know any of them, so like I can't relate. So there you go. So next one. Maybe the young people can relate to this one. Oh, Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger, yeah, right? Yeah, young people, right? You know, he's 85. Okay. Next, what's the next one? Will Smith, all right. So you know some of these. Enough where you can identify who it is, but it's not really who it is. It's a cartoon. It's a caricature. If I were to ask you to come up with a caricature of Christianity, what would that look like? What would be distorted? What would be overemphasized? What would be minimized? And here's the thing. I think a lot of people have a caricature of Christianity. That's, for some reason, that's what they see. They don't see the real thing. They see a caricature. And for some people, I think that they think Christianity is all about behavior modification. You know, I need to be a good person. I need to be a better person. And they reduce all of Christianity down to that. Just be a good person. Trying to be a better person here. Somebody said this, I thought this was interesting here. You can't purify the water by painting the pump. You get that? You know, you can't purify the heart just by changing your behavior. That's not what Christianity is. Another thing that I think a lot of people in our world, they focus on all the do's and don'ts of Christianity. And to them, it's just a big don't, really. It's just all negative. And isn't that what the devil wants to do, is just paint an image in your head that's so negative of who God is, of who Jesus is, of what the church is, and it's all negative. And it's just a caricature. That's not real. That's what the devil wants to do. It's a caricature of Christianity. And today I want to focus on what true Christianity is. And we see this back in the first chapter. In the first chapter of John, he emphasizes that we need to recognize our sin. We need to confess our sin. We need to repent of our sin. We need to come out of darkness. We need to walk in the light. A lot of these things we've talked about already. The step into the light so that we can have fellowship with God. That was huge to me. If we truly want to have fellowship with God, we've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. True Christianity lives in the light. True Christianity, we face our failures. You know, we understand we're not perfect. We know that there's sin in our lives. We need to confess that sin, and we need to strive not to sin. We talked about that a lot last week. But today we go on, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, and John is going to continue to clarify for us, paint a picture of what true Christianity is for us. authentic Christianity is. And three things I want to emphasize in about six words that I really want to camp out on. The first thing I want us to think about is true Christianity submits to Jesus Christ as Lord. You read this with me, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Two words I want to focus on here. The first word, know, look at what does it say here? And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The word know, you see that once again in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. This is what John writes. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know. Know what? Is it up there? I don't even know if I have. No, I don't have this. So that you may know you have eternal life. John is writing this letter to us so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not wish that you have eternal life. Not hope that you have eternal life. He wants you to be confident that you have eternal life. He says, I'm telling you what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've touched. I'm telling you the truth. So this is what God wants for you. He wants you to be have this confidence, this certainty that you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not something we hope for, not something we wish for, not something we know about. It's something we know. That word know is used 40 times in this short little, five chapters, and he uses that word know 40 times. John Piper, he says, what are we made for? To know God. What aim should we have in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? To know God. What is the best thing in life? Now you answer it. To know God. Yes, you got it. It's to know God. Let me ask you before I go on here. Do you know? Do you know that you know? God has made himself known through Jesus Christ so that you can know. And it's this knowing that results in the walking. It results in the obedience, results in everything else. Everything else doesn't make sense until you know. I mean, if you don't know, then it's just a bunch of rules. It's just a distorted picture. Knowing is what results in keeping. And that's the next word I want you to look at here, this word keep. By this we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. Why is it that we keep his commandments? We keep his commandments because we recognize his lordship in our life. We recognize that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, that he has all authority. We've come to know that. And so we keep his commandments. We voluntarily submit to his lordship. Lord means master. I'm passionate about this here. That a lot of people want Jesus Christ to be their savior, but they don't want Jesus to be their Lord. Jesus cannot be your savior until he's your Lord. Lord means master. Do you recognize that he has all authority? In Acts chapter 16, the jailer in Ephesus who jailed Paul and Silas. At midnight, a lot of things happened. He was convicted. He says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. It doesn't say just believe in Jesus. It's believe in the Lord Jesus. Understand, he is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. In Romans 10, this is what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Paul doesn't say, believe that he is Savior. He says, confess that he's Savior. He says, confess that he is Lord. He is Savior, but he's Lord. You got to recognize that. Jesus himself in Luke chapter 6 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Once again, you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. In Matthew 7, I don't have this up here. Matthew 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and then perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. You don't know me. I don't know you. You call me Lord, Lord all day long. You're doing all these things, but you don't know me and I don't know you. Let me show you John 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And that's, we know that, right? That's elementary. You learned that in VBS. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. The rest of the verse, though, says, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. It doesn't say whoever does not believe. It says whoever does not obey. Whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever does not obey, the wrath of God still remains on him. What do you see here? Belief and obedience are interchangeable. They're synonymous. They're linked together. If you believe, you obey. If you don't believe, you don't obey. Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? And I read this. I thought this was very interesting. The word keep is a word that the sailors, it was used by sailors in ancient times. They didn't have GPSs back in those days, you know. How did they travel at night? At nighttime, a sailor would look up at the stars, and he would steer by the stars. And they would call that keeping the stars. He would set his course by keeping the stars. If he didn't keep the stars, he would get lost, right? As a Christian, you and I, we set our course by keeping the commandments. It's because we treasure those commandments. We know this is God's guidance for our life. And so we steer our life according to the commandments of God. That doesn't mean that the sailor doesn't now and then get blown off course. Doesn't mean that he gets distracted, maybe a little careless, and he takes his eyes off the stars for a brief moment. But his lifestyle is he's dependent on those stars. He quickly returns to the stars. He quickly gets back on course. Are you steering your life by God's commandments? Do you treasure God's commandments, God's word? Are you keeping the commandments? And a few more things before I leave this here. I don't want to lose you on this here, but this really stood out to me as I was studying. The word know is in perfect tense. The word keep is in present tense. Now, what that means, perfect tense, know, that's a done deal. I know Jesus. Settled. Not up for debate. Keep is present tense. That's an ongoing thing. I keep his commandments today. I keep his commandments tomorrow. I'll keep his commandments 10 years from now. I set my course to those commandments. Very important that you understand the perfect tense, present tense, that one is done, the other one is still happening. Don't get that backwards. Don't confuse that, thinking that keeping is perfect tense, that keeping is the done. I've kept the commandments, therefore I will know. You don't keep the commandments to know God. You know God so that you can keep the commandments. Does that make sense? That's important to me, because I think some people were trying to earn our salvation by trying to keep the commandments so that we will know God. Backwards, just totally backwards. No, know God so that you can keep the commandments. One more thing I want to emphasize here is the words of Jesus. In John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the words of Jesus. In John 14, verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See how beautiful that is? But Jesus emphasizes there three times, keep my commandments. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. Do you really love me? Keep my commandments, all right? So know Jesus, keep his commandments. Jesus is Lord. That's the first trait of authentic Christianity right there. The second thing that John points out, this is in verse 5 and 6, the lifestyle of Jesus. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So a true believer seeks the lifestyle of Jesus. Point number one is all about the lordship of Jesus. Point number two is about the life of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus. If being saved doesn't make you like Jesus, if being called saved doesn't make you like Jesus, then are you really saved? It's so easy to talk the talk. The true test comes in the life. the lifestyle, a life that reflects Jesus. Being saved makes you like Jesus. It makes you to walk like Jesus. And the words here I want to emphasize here, in the same way. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way. You see something similar to this in 1 John 4, verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. As he is, so also are we. In the same way, my life is to be like his life. So the question here, what was the lifestyle of Jesus? What was his way? How did he walk? And it was a lifestyle of honesty. You go back to the 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, in the same way as he is, we have fellowship with one another. So what John said, so in walking in the light is it means in honesty. Jesus lived a life of honesty. How many times he said, I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. You and I need to live in the light, which means a life of honesty, a life of honesty with God. Are you honest with God about your failures, your dependence on him, your need for him? Are you being honest with God? Are you being honest with yourself? You got to be honest with yourself. I think a lot of us, we're just fooling ourselves. And are we being honest with one another? If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, this is what it says in 1 John 1, verse 6. If we're still walking in darkness, we're lying. That's not honest. We're not practicing the truth. That's what he says. If we're being dishonest and we're walking in darkness, then the question is, are we really saved? Are you really saved if you're still walking in darkness? Maybe you're fooling yourself. You're not fooling God, but you might be fooling yourself. Then another thing about Jesus, it was a life of purity, 1 John 3, verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. Are you purifying yourself as he is pure? Jesus is pure. He's Lord. This is how he lived. We're to live in the same way as he is. He lived a pure life. Are you living a pure life? A life of honesty, a life of purity. And how far do I go here? If you got a lot of filth in your life, I don't want to dwell on this at all. I don't even want to spend any time here, but take some inventory. Is there some nasty stuff in your life, some dirty stuff in your life that needs to be dealt with? That's not of God. It doesn't reflect Jesus. And it's not right. You're walking in darkness. You're not walking in the light. Another thing I see here, Jesus lived a life of righteousness. 1 John 3, verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Jesus is honest. Jesus is pure. Jesus is righteous. You are called to be honest. You are called to be pure. You are called to be righteous, just as he is. How do we have the lifestyle of Jesus? How do we reflect Jesus? And the key word that I want to emphasize in verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Whoever abides, that word abide, what does that word abide mean to you? Are you abiding in Christ? That word abide, the first image that comes to my head from years ago, I think, is the umbilical cord of a baby being connected to the mother. The baby is connected. Abiding in Jesus means you are connected to Jesus. This invisible umbilical cord that nourishes us and feeds us and sustains us and keeps us alive. That's what it means to abide in Jesus. In John chapter 15, this is my favorite passage in the Bible. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what is Jesus? Jesus is the vine. What are you? You're the branch, right? And abide is to have that relationship that the branch has to the vine. Total dependence to the vine. Connected to the vine. And think about how the branch is connected. It's fully dependent. branch is totally, completely, totally reliant on the vine. The branch can do nothing on itself. All the branch needs is the vine. The branch doesn't worry about how many grapes, what size, what color, how sweet. The branch, that's not its job. Its job is to depend on the vine, and if it depends on the vine, all this other stuff just happens. It happens not as you are dependent on the vine. Everything else happens the way it's supposed to happen. And Jesus is an example of this. Jesus said, I'm not doing this. The Father does it. What the Father says, I say. What I see the Father do, I do. Jesus said that over and over and over. Jesus was totally dependent on the Father. You and I are to be totally dependent on Jesus. A true Christian submits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A true Christian lives like Jesus lived. Honesty, purity, righteousness. And one more thing that John emphasizes here in verses 9 and 10. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother, you're still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So a true Christian shows the love of Jesus, loves like Jesus. Right before this, in verse 7 and 8, I just want to throw this in here. In verse 7 and 8, it says, "Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one." He's talking about love. You know, this is nothing new. This is an old command, which you've heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you've heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And so I see this old command. I'm not writing a new command. I'm writing an old command, but I'm writing you a new command. And I'm like, what? 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 This kind of got in my head. Messed with the old command. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus taught the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment. And he goes on. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when Jesus said that, you're like, wow, so profound. That's awesome. Was that the first time that was ever said? Jesus was just quoting Deuteronomy. That's been there for years. 4,000 years at least, the Hebrew people knew these commands. It's nothing new. What Jesus said, that's nothing new. But this is what's new. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Once again, that's not new. "But even as I have loved you." Oh, that's new. That's new. "Even as I have loved you," that's how we're supposed to love. Jesus isn't just telling us to love our neighbors. He's telling us to love our neighbors as I have loved you. He's raised the standard on us. He's raised the bar. This is pretty new stuff right here. So then, okay, now we understand what love is. Look at that word hate. Whoever says he is in the light but hates his brother, you're still in darkness. Okay, I'm just thinking I might be talking to somebody here today. Somebody who, you know, you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you love singing to the Lord, you love coming to church, you love it, but man, you got a problem with somebody. There's some hate going on. Once again, it's so easy to claim that we're Christians. But if we're hating someone, we're exposing that we're still living in darkness. And that's got to be dealt with. We've got to deal with that. If you claim to be a Christian, you can't harbor hate against a brother, a sister, a family member, a coworker, somebody in the church. Definitely not there. No, don't do that. Hate, the word hate, we live in a culture of hate. Everybody loves to hate. A lot of hating going on. And as Christians, I want you to understand what hate does. Hate keeps you in the darkness. And if you're in the darkness, you're outside of fellowship with God. In him, there is no darkness. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. And you're in darkness? If you're in darkness, you can't be in the light. You can't be walking with God. If you're hating somebody, you're walking in darkness. It's got to be dealt with. If you're hating somebody, it's keeping you from loving somebody. That's pretty profound, isn't it? It keeps us from loving one another as Christ loved us. We're not doing the commandment that he's called us to do. We're not loving one another as he loved us. And get this, if we hate somebody, we're living in darkness, and that keeps us confused. A lot of spiritual confusion going on because somehow we justify our hate. You know, I'm I'm talking the talk. I call myself a Christian. I go to church. I put on a tie. You know, all, but I'm confused. 1 John 2, verse 11. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. But he who does not, he does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. The darkness has blinded him. You don't know where you're going. You're spiritually lost because you're walking in darkness. Yet you're calling yourself a Christian. I tell you, this got to be dealt with. I've heard that you can put an animal in darkness, and if you leave that animal there long enough, the animal will become blind. I've never done that. Don't think I should. But I heard that. Okay. If you put a plant in darkness, what would happen to the plant? The plant shrivels up and dies. If you put your soul in darkness, what's going to happen to your soul? It's going to get ugly and die. Something else before I move on here. Something else I want to point out about hate. That word hate, I don't think I have this up here, but in the Greek it's maseo. And it has two meanings. One is same as what we would think. Hate means hate, all right? Easy enough. But there's another meaning to it that I want to highlight. And it's not hate as emotional hate, that disgust, like, ooh, I can't stand that person. It's not that. No, it's more of an apathy towards a person where you just don't care. That person who's made in the image of God, the person who God loves, you don't care about. It's an indifference, a disregard, a neglect. Now, if you know the word agape in Greek, agape is the word for love, but that's a very special word for love. It's an unconditional love. It's more like a love it's not because I feel like loving you, it's because I've decided to love you. That's agape love. I love you no matter what. That's agape love. That's a decision. And this word hate is pretty much just the opposite of that. It's to fail to make the decision to love. You and I are to show agape love to our brothers and sisters. And when we hate, when we fail to make the decision to love, that's hate. That's darkness. All right, so let me close up by just asking a couple questions here. How often do you hear Christianity being criticized? Are Christians being criticized? That Christians are hypocrites. Christians are bigots. Christians are this. Christians are that. Whatever, you know. There are many people in this world who are calling themselves Christians. But you and I know they're not walking in the light. They're not keeping the Lord's commandments. Their life doesn't reflect Jesus' life. They're not walking like Jesus walked. They don't love like Jesus loved. And John is pretty emphatic about this point. They're liars. That should be a wake-up call to all of us. And I say that, I'm not saying you need to do better at keeping his commandments, you need to do better at walking the walk, you know, living like Jesus, reflecting Jesus, loving like Jesus. I think it really comes down to you need to get to know Jesus. If you know Jesus, not know about Jesus, but you truly know Jesus, it's going to be reflected in a life that's keeping his commandments, a life that loves people, a life that walks the walk. I feel like I need to emphasize this again. You're not saved by keeping the commandments. You're not saved by loving people. You're not saved by, you're saved by knowing Jesus. And when you know Jesus, all these things should follow. So the question is, do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Have you experienced his grace? Have you read his word and it comes alive and something happens in your heart and the Spirit gets a hold of you and doesn't let you go and you won't let the Spirit go? Has that happened for you? You've experienced his grace. You've experienced his forgiveness. You've experienced his love. You've experienced his power. You've experienced his presence in your life. You know that you know that you know. If you don't know, I want you to come talk to me. Let me give you the sermon again or something. Or, you know, let me pray for you. Let us do something to help you know who Jesus is so that you know that you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It begins by coming to know Jesus. To really know Jesus. If you know Jesus, what does the Bible say? You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that new creation is a person who wants to be with God, who wants to be in the light, who wants to keep his commandments because you love him. And because you know he knows what's best for you. And you want to reflect the life of Jesus Christ because you want to glorify God with your time here on earth. And you want to love people the way that Jesus loves people because you want them to know the love of God like you know the love of God. So I invite you today to get to know Jesus. Come, get to know Jesus. And walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk.